It's a great privilege to share with you once again today, you wonderful people from West Street Christian Fellowship. And I'm aware that some of you at least will be watching this video on Saturday, the 3rd of July, which is 6 years to the day since I met up first of all with Pete Midgley and Graham Christopher. We sat for hours at Trentham Gardens speaking about the possibility of my helping out at West Street Christian Fellowship in your time of need. We're grateful to God for his leading over those 6 years and thankful that the church has moved on such a long way. And I guess that some of you at least are beginning to wonder if you'll ever see the back of me. But it is great to be with you today. And since Easter, I understand you've been focusing on aspects of the life of the early church, using the book of Acts as your textbook. We've reached the penultimate week of the series, and based on the passage in Acts 16, verses 6 to 10 inclusive, we're reflecting on being open to God's guidance. So here's Acts 16, beginning at verse 6. Paul and his companions travel throughout the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man from Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. So based on that interesting passage of scripture, I'm bringing you three words of encouragement this morning concerning guidance. The first of them is very simple: press forward. Press forward. In today's reading, Paul and his friends were undertaking what we now know as Paul's second missionary journey, which was really a three-year-long pilgrimage around the Mediterranean between the years 49 and 52 AD, and recorded for us in Acts chapter 16, chapter 17, and also 18. At the start of the journey, having travelled northwards through Syria from Paul's home, they wandered west to Iconium and Pisidian Antioch. And as you look at it on the map, the natural thing would have been for them to continue westwards into Asia, the area now known to us as Western Turkey. And they'd head for the great city of Laodicea and Ephesus. However, we're told that the missionaries were prohibited from going that way and instead travelled north through Phrygia and Galatia. Well, having done that, Paul and his companions wanted to turn east to go and preach the gospel in Bithynia, which is a narrow strip of land to the north of Turkey, the south coast of the Black Sea. But once again, their plans were thwarted, they were halted in their tracks, and they were left with no other option but to turn west, to turn left and go down to Troas, where they met the Mediterranean Sea. So they arrived at a place that they now thought was the end of the road. There was nowhere else to go. What on earth was the Lord doing to them? But at that very place where they'd come to the end, Paul in the night had a vision of a man from Macedonia that would lead himself and the team in a completely new direction. So today, I want to encourage us that the whole of our lives are a missionary journey, and we have to keep on pressing forwards. Sometimes the next steps of our personal or corporate journey are crystal clear, but on many occasions there's some doubt or uncertainty, and sometimes apparently a complete fog about the next step on the journey. And right now some of you may be facing a time of uncertainty regarding a job or a career, regarding the home you live in or a relationship you're involved in. And then corporately, I know that the leaders of West Street Christian Fellowship, like all other churches, are facing lots of questions at the moment about the next steps forward for the church following the hiatus caused by COVID-19. And so we've got lots of questions about the future, like should we be meeting back in person or remain online? How can we reach out to those who have connected to us through the pandemic? And at the same time, being aware that we've lost connection to some who used to be with us, but seem to have slipped away. And so we know that we're facing many questions, very genuine and real questions, that we have to pray into and think over and talk through as a group of people. But whatever uncertainties we face concerning the future, they don't constitute at all an excuse or a reason for us to stand still, spiritually speaking. We may be best wondering how we can live and serve and preach the gospel in our changing context. But what is not in question is the fact that we do have to keep on declaring the victory that God won over sin and death through the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. I remember as a young Christian listening to the American singer-songwriter Keith Green singing, "Jesus commands us to go. It should be the exception if we stay." So whatever uncertainties you face, we face today, the encouragement is, like the Apostle Paul and his friends, we press forward, we keep on pressing forward in God's great mission for us and through us. Second encouragement is remain attentive. The Apostle Paul and his companions may not always have liked what they heard the Lord saying to them, but for sure their eyes were open and their ears attentive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. We're not furnished with the details of how the Lord stopped them from going ahead on their original plan into Asia, or how later on they were stopped in their second plan to go east into Bithynia. And we're left to conjecture whether that was a prophetic word or an angelic visitation or a human circumstance, a dream, a vision, we don't know. We are told that the call to travel to Macedonia came by means of a nighttime vision with that Macedonian man appearing to Paul and calling for help. In between these fleeting moments of inspiration came hours and days and weeks of perspiration. It's easy for us to read that instead of going to Asia, Paul and his companions travel north through Phrygia and Galatia, because if we were doing that same thing today, we'd be making the trip, no doubt, in the comfort of an air-conditioned car. For them, however, this 200-mile detour northwards would have meant walking probably for 2 or 3 weeks under a hot Mediterranean sun, providing them with plenty of opportunity for tiredness, for conversation, for bickering, for argument, for uncertainty, as they tried to understand what the Holy Spirit was saying to them. They knew what at that point what God was saying not to do, but did not know what he was calling them to do or where to go. So my encouragement to you today is to remain attentive. We're expecting that the Lord will speak into our situations, even though it may take some time and effort to discern what he's saying. I mean, the Lord loves to speak. He's got an opinion about everything and a great heart to share himself with his people. He speaks to us supremely through his word, the scriptures, which according to Psalm 119, are a lamp to our feet and a guide to our path. But in terms of specific points of direction, how we're to take the scriptures and apply them into our daily life, how we're to follow the Lord on our journey today, the Lord is able to use almost any means of communication. And scripture and history are full of examples of how God has used dreams and visions, prophetic words, human circumstances, And in the context of my message today, I don't really have the opportunity to go into lots of personal illustrations, but you in your discussion groups on Sunday morning, no doubt, can share examples of specific ways that the Lord has led you. Whatever, it's vital that we remain attentive to God's voice, because he can speak to us through anything or anyone. We need our eyes open, our ears and hearts attentive to his word. It may not come quickly and easily, but as we remain attentive, we believe that the Lord will continue to speak to us. Here's number three. Third encouragement, stick together. Stick together. In Acts 16, verses 6 to 9, we read Paul and his companions, followed by the words they and they. Because the New Testament never shows the Apostle Paul travelling alone, but always in the company of others. With him, at the very least, at the time of this Bible passage, was Silvanus, the man known to us as Silas, and Timothy, who'd just joined the party in the first few verses of Acts 16. And then, as they reached Troas, they were joined by a new member of the party, a certain doctor called Luke, because in Acts 16, verse 10, the phrase suddenly changes from they to we and us. We know that this is the point where the Apostle Paul, Dr. Luke came on the scene with the Apostle Paul. And what an incredible relationship that turned out to be. From Acts 16 and again in chapter 20 and again in chapter 27 and 28, we keep reading we, i.e. Luke was with Paul. And it was part of Luke's great learning experience to spend all that time with Paul and to be able to write the story of Acts as clearly as he did, because he was there right in the thick of it with these apostles. Beyond this passage, we know that Paul travelled occasionally with Barnabas or John Mark, with Timothy and Titus, with Demas, with Aquila and Priscilla, and so many more, but he was never alone. It is true, of course, that the Apostle Paul alone received the vision of the man of Macedonia. But then, over breakfast, first thing next morning, for sure he shared it with the team, because the scripture says that at the end of that conversation, they concluded that God had called them to Macedonia. So Paul shared the vision that he'd received, but it was the team who came to the corporate conclusion, this is what God wants us to do. And now suddenly, with that revelation and that collegial sense of agreement about the will of God and the next step on the journey, the fog that had hung over them for weeks was suddenly lifted. Revelation was crystal clear. The party literally headed down the hill to the port at Troas, got on the first boat and sailed as fast as they could to get into Greece, to Macedonia, the area we now know as Greece. And actually, in that journey, they were taking a giant leap from Asia into Europe, and a whole new history of the world, a life-changing moment, was opening up, not just for that band, but for the rest of the course of human history. As soon as they understood what God was doing, they set about it pronto, as quickly as possible. So my third encouragement to you is stick together in the great missionary enterprise to which the Lord has called you. While some folk obviously need to take a lead in certain aspects of church life, it's absolutely imperative to bear with each other, to submit to each other, to encourage each other, to support each other. It's God's will that we pray and think and move and speak and act as a family unit. At least as much as was ever the case, the Lord is not looking for spiritual superstars. He intends for us the safety, security, strength, purpose, and joy that comes through sticking together. This goes for us in terms of our natural families, for our spiritual family at West Street Christian Fellowship, and for the relationship between all God's people in the town of Crewe and surrounding area. So today I'm bringing you those three words of encouragement as we open our eyes, our ears, our heart to God's guidance. We do so by pressing forward, by remaining attentive, and by sticking together. May the Lord help you to discern his voice at every turn and bring you together to the fullness of his plan for you. Amen.